and Dejanovic, your morning companions for talk, analysis, and key perspectives on Utah's biggest stories on KSL News Radio.
In the 9 o'clock hour, we heard from University of Utah law professor Amos Giora, who was in Israel, about the Iran attacks, the drones that were launched, the missiles that were launched toward Israel over the weekend.
I think why, from an Iranian perspective, the firing of the missiles was a lose-lose.
A lose-lose, and they did not gain much from it.
They didn't gain much, but they sure tried. I mean, we're talking about hundreds of drones, ballistic missiles being shot into Israel directly from Iran. And the fact that we were able to shoot down most of those and intercept them, I think we too easily dismiss the fact that they shot hundreds of rockets into one of our allies. And now everyone's like, all right, now everybody settle down. It's a wild amount of emotions I'm feeling right now, Boyd, who joins us right now. And this is, Debbie, I thought you said it, it's a different way of life in Israel.
It is, and it's one that we have a hard time appreciating here in the West, where other than on 9/11, I don't know that we've ever had a moment where we've thought, wait a minute, we're vulnerable. And that's a daily thing in the Middle East for so many.
Nor would we tolerate it.
Yeah, and I think that's an interesting thing, that the calls for restraint are really interesting and so hard. I'm one who usually believes restraint always works. And this is one of those that is so interesting in terms of the dynamics in the region. Of course, a lot of these things go all the way back to Old Testament, biblical times. And so they're deep-seated, they're long-lasting. I think Iran really miscalculated on a number of fronts. One, I think they were banking on the fact that it seems, from a media perspective, that Israel is very isolated at the moment. But the fact that you had the United States, France, Great Britain, and allies in the Middle East all rallied, all came running, and knocked down all of 99% of those things, those projectiles that were fired, drones, missiles, and otherwise. And so I think that was a very interesting thing, where Israel was getting more isolated on the world stage because of the conflict with Hamas inside of Gaza, that I think Iran took that as a signal of, oh, this might be a good time to take our shot. They've been much more content to be kind of death by a thousand cuts, working through the Houthis and through Hamas and other proxy terrorist groups. So this was a big swing for Iran.
My read of it, though, was that this was in direct response to what happened in Syria, where Israel bombed an Iranian consulate, embassy, a compound in Syria not very long ago. I think it was just a few days ago, but last week, took out a couple of military generals, very high-ranking military generals for Iran, and this was retaliation for that specifically. So in my view of it, in my read of it, it doesn't have to do with the Hamas and Israel war that's going on right now, but this is Iran trying to send a message to Israel, like, stop taking out our top generals.
I disagree with that, Debbie.
You think it has to do with the war on Hamas?
Well, I think it's not a... typically in the Middle East, there is this tit for tat kind of thing, and it's back and forth, and you take out a little place here and a few military leaders there, and that kind of thing goes back and forth. This was a major full-scale attack, 300 weapons being launched directly from Iran into Israel. Is not just one of those, hey, we're going to take out one of your little bases, or we're going to go after a boat.
My understanding that, like, embassies and consulates are sacred ground for countries, that even if it is in another country, and obviously embassies are in other countries, that when you start bombing whoever you're going after, you are basically, it's like you are bombing Iranian soil, even though that was in Syria. So that's what I thought, that this was all in retaliation for that.
I think there's much more to it. And I think it's one of those things where Iran, again, I think a lot of this was miscalculation by Iran on a number of fronts. I think they also have kind of underestimated, I think, in terms of where everybody is in terms of all of this, in terms of alliances, partners, people that have been with us for a long time. And so I think Iran calculated that they would be able to do this without any kind of retaliation, because they feel like there's a very big sense of mixed messages coming from the United States. President Biden's messages have been very mixed in terms of condemning this, don't do that, here's a few more jets. And so it's been very, very complicated and very confusing. And I think Iran has been waiting for a long time for that moment where they thought, okay, now this is a chance to really do something. And the Ayatollah, it turns 85 next week. Normally the Ayatollahs tend to get a little more conservative in terms of the outlashing kinds of things. This is very different. So there's a little bit of a surprise there. And in an odd way, he's actually helping Benjamin Netanyahu, who has been teetering inside of his own country. And nothing will rally the Israeli people together more than a full-scale attack from Iran. And so he has given Netanyahu some ability to navigate things just a little bit better. Netanyahu was getting very isolated on the world stage. And now suddenly I think he can act with a little more confidence and be a little more bold because of this. And so I think that's another really interesting subset there.
Is it fair to say that being attacked directly from Iran is the worst case scenario of all of the threats that surround Israel? And there's a substantial, a direct attack from Iran seems to me the most dangerous.
Yeah, definitely. And sends the biggest message. And so now the next message is the one around restraint, because again, an emboldened Benjamin Netanyahu, does he now not just go after some military targets? Does he go after nuclear targets inside of Iran? I mean, the big thing that everyone has worried about for a long time is a nuclear capable Iran. We know they've been on the march to do that for a long time. So does Benjamin Netanyahu now say, well, look, if you're going to go full scale against us, that's where we're going to go next. And so that becomes, again, all in the escalation process. And I think the big challenge and the big debate is going to be, is it de-escalation for de-escalation's sake, which the Biden administration has used in a number of different places around the world. Let's just try to de-escalate, where Israel is saying, no, what we need is deterrent. And deterrent, you can't just flip on like a light switch. That is a process. That is a long-term commitment. One other really ironic thing in all of this, this also may give a very interesting lifeline to the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, who has been battling within his own party, dealing with aid to Israel, to Ukraine. And now, is this the opportunity where Mike Johnson steps forward and says, you know what, the Senate already passed a bill that has $95 billion for Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan. This is a moment on the world stage we're going to put on. We had over 100 members of Congress this morning, Democrats and Republicans, sent a letter to Mike Johnson saying, put the Senate bill on the floor today and we'll pass it.
Oh,
and
wow.
I think if that happened, certainly Marjorie Taylor Greene would do her vacate the chair and the Democrats would say Mike Johnson. So they may have given Mike. I mean, this is why this is so complicated. And all your confusing feelings, Dave, I'm right there with you. This one's a head spinner. The one thing I would caution everyone, there is a lot of emotion. There's a lot of information and misinformation. The fog of war stuff is very real. And so we do have to step back and be careful as we process all of these pieces to make sure we don't conflate things, that we don't equate things. Sometimes we have this moral equivalence thing that we fall into. And I think there's a lot of that. We just have to kind of keep playing that out and let it go.
Boyd, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it because it's scary. It's scarier than I think maybe we understand or we think, because it wasn't the disaster. Being able to shoot down so many of those missiles, I think, mitigated so much of that. But thank you. And as always, this segment of the Dave and Dujanovic Show is brought to you by Window World. If you want to replace your windows and doors, call Window World of Utah today.
The New York Times asked this question to voters. Describe the 2024 election in one word. Let's go through some of the responses they got next.